Co-host David Figler and I were recently lamenting the loss of late-night coffee shops. We both remember places that were open until 11 p.m. or even 1 a.m. These were important third spaces for activism, art, and performance, third spaces that, most importantly, were not bars. So today on CityCast Las Vegas, David and I sit down with author Kim Foster. We're going to talk about those third spaces here in Las Vegas, and are there still late-night cultural hubs in the city? It's Monday, April 8th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. David, do you have memories of late night coffee shop hangs? I mean, David, you're the one who sparked this episode because we both had these memories in our respective cities being like youths of being in coffee shops. What was it like here in Vegas when you were in your teens and 20s?
Well, you said in the intro 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock, and I'm like, amateur?
Wow.
Vegas, especially the 1990s, which is my peak nostalgia times, it would go on and on and on and on, sometimes in bars, sure. But yeah, the coffee houses were open really super late. So we were caffeinated and we needed to go somewhere.
Yeah. And
sometimes we go from coffee shop to coffee shop. A lot of these are surrounded like art openings and poetry rings.
You get artisans in coffee shops and it's 90s. The 90s.
Yes.
There's going to be heroin.
Yeah, theft, heroin, all that good stuff, internal. But yeah, I mean, I have lots of memories of going to a very late night, see a band, go see a reading, whatever it is. And then everyone would hang out until finally the owner of that place, A, kind of kicked you out. So we're talking about places that'll sound familiar to anyone who was around that scene in the 90s.
Places and you're like, performing in these spaces,
too. Yeah, I was performing in those spaces, too. But places like Cafe Espresso Roma and Cafe Copio, Cafe Rainbow, Java Hut, and other places, you know. And on and on. I mean, I could list like 30 or 40 places. Enigma Cafe, of course, being the big granddaddy, which sort of presaged the Arts District and was located right in that area as well. No longer there, the building or the concept. But yeah, we would have fun. And then even, you know, when I was back in Las Vegas studying for the bar, I would, you know, dip into one of these little spots just for to clear my head. And then I would head over to like a Caro's or a Blueberry Hill or one of these like 24-hour at the time coffee shops with my gang.
Yeah.
And we would just hang out and eat and talk and kibitz. And it was just really fantastic.
Oh, my God. Just like in Ohio, that's a Denny's situation with the goths, you know, 24 hours.
Yeah.
Smoking clothes, absolutely. Kim, where did you spend your wayward youth? What city?
Well, I was in upstate New York, which is before I went to grad school in New York City. And so for us, it was diners. Diners are really, really big for stuff like that because a lot of them are open 24 hours and you can just go with your friends and hang out in diners and you really can't go wrong. And if you wanted to have alcohol, you could have alcohol in those spaces. But, you know, I don't know that a lot of teens are hanging out in diners, though.
Yeah. So here's the question. First of all, are there still coffee shops open late in Las Vegas that are what we remember as cultural hubs?
I don't think there's coffee shops that we remember as cultural hubs anywhere. Really around. The closest, I think, is the courtyard of the amphitheater around Mothership in the Ferguson. And, you know, the Ferguson on most weekdays shuts down the whole complex at 5 p.m.
Yeah, other than like F the bar in the front, right? Yeah, my closest latest coffee shop is Grouchy John's. And so I think that the space is actually open pretty late, like 9 or 10, and that it is a 24-hour drive-through. But like one of the things we're hitting on that is really important is workspaces. Sometimes I'm just like getting rolling creatively at 3 p.m. and every coffee shop in Las Vegas closes at 4.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to the original Grouchy John's over there over on, I think it's like Maryland and the 215, somewhere around that area.
Yeah.
I always just kind of know it by instinct. And the owners of that were kind of products of that 90s scene. So I think they're trying to keep it alive to the extent that they can.
They have some of that vibe, especially in the afternoons. Like it's a huge after school stop. Like it really is a hub. And then like also a lot of college students will end up there too because it is open later. Like it does have some of those like feelings I'm familiar with. I mean, do either of you have a sense of why so many Vegas coffee shops close so early?
because people want to have lives, I guess. I think that they can't compete with bars. I think that, I mean, I could be wrong about this. I'm just, this is just shooting from the hip here, but I think people want to have lives and close down, and a coffee shop that's open at 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning or whatever is not going to want to staff up and manage something that goes to 1 o'clock in the morning. I just don't see it as an option. David, does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I think being mindful of, you know, how we work our workers to the bone as is and asking them for even more is very important. I just think that that whole tradition has kind of fallen away of late night entertainment in those spaces. It's kind of the DIY scene. I know that there was a very successful poetry reading that was happening. I think it was maybe every other week on a late Wednesday night in the back porch area of Rebar, and that's no more for whatever reason.
And even that we're talking about this, I think speaks to our generation that's different from teens, because I don't think teens, I think you're right, David, I don't think teens see coffee shops as a place to hang out, like together, like, oh, let's go to this coffee shop together in the same way that we did.
You know, it was just that the spaces were built for it differently back then, weren't they, Kim? I mean, now in the new just specifically focusing on coffee shops, most new coffee shops are very clean line, very efficient, and not really built for, or maybe would there even be tolerance for someone setting up a little amp with their singer-songwriter cred and just kind of belting out some stuff. You know, I'm thinking about Samba Latte was doing that for a little bit over in Boca Park, and they had the cutest older couple on like a keyboard. And it was so throwbacky, and I don't know that they're doing that anymore, but like always crouched away in like the corner and the front. And it seemed like, oh, it's so cute that they're trying, but this isn't the vibe of this space.
You know, Kim, you are our resident expert on the teens because
you have so many.
You've had some hundreds flow through your home.
I know this.
So where do your teens hang out? Like, where are the teens and the 20s hanging out nowadays?
Well, I tell you, I think that the boba shop is the new coffee shop. They're open till 11, generally. They tend to be near college areas. They tend to be in places where young people hang out. It's cool. It's a fun beverage. It's not caffeinated. It's not going to keep you up all night. Mm-hmm. I think that when you talk to teens, you know, they're really talking about being able to go in places that are cool to them and not necessarily cool to us. And I think if there were late night coffee shops, we'd probably be in them with our laptops and sort of dragging down the atmosphere a bit.
I know.
So, and I will tell you that house parties are really, really important third spaces for teens in Vegas.
Sure.
And I remember this was actually when my teens were a little bit younger. But we would take them to house parties. And as a parent, it's really hard to take them to house parties because you're basically dropping them off to like, you know, what you think is going to be a fentanyl saturated, you know.
Oh, God.
Well, that's what it feels like as a parent, right? That you go and you're like, where am I dropping off? You know, some kid sends an address, you know, and on the east side, and you're dropping your kids off. And then there's kids sitting outside on the lawn and everybody's hanging out and smoking cigarettes. And you're thinking, oh, my God, what am I doing? Like, how am I a good parent? But it turns out that these places, the places change a lot and are secret often and, you know, are sort of have this sort of puzzle element to them about who's going to show up and who's going to be there. And there was a band there for a lot of the house shows that they would go to called Napalm Star. They had this hit song among the kids called Never Learned How to Dance. And I remember that people would show up just to see Napalm Star, sort of like the way we would show up to see a singer at a coffee house or something like that. Everybody knew the words to the song. People would sing it. They would download it onto their Spotify. And so that was like part of their community to have this, you know, the arts were happening, but it was just in a way that maybe wasn't recognizable to a lot of parents at the time. But I think those things are culturally really important. And then there's also, so I went on this Facebook group called Las Vegas Supermoms, which sounds really dumb.
Yeah, but it does.
It does sound dumb. Yeah, it sounds. No, it sounds
But
it's actually this amazing Facebook site with thousands and thousands of Vegas parents, and they actually share all kinds of information that's really, really relevant to parenting. And they were telling me that the hotspot for teens right now is Town Square.
The hotspot for teens is Town Square. It's got everything. It's got an Apple Store, Whole Foods. There's a new comedy club there, and plenty of fake trees.
Is that the appeal, Kim?
Yes, that's it. Well, because, and also, I know my husband David takes our daughter there. Oh, you can sit at Sickies or Tommy Bahamas, have a beer, and watch your kid play on the playground. It's filled chock-a-block almost every night with parents and kids and also teenagers hanging out in the grass area.
That was kind of the concept of the container park originally, but it sort of devolved.
What is it with that? Because it should be our teen hangout, shouldn't it?
It should be incredible. I mean, I love the playground to like bring the kids to it, but like there's not any spots in there currently that I want to go to. I don't know. Well, that's a whole other episode. What's up with the container park? Yes.
And it kind of closes too. I mean, and we're talking about late night. Is late night even a thing anymore, especially post-pandemic?
Yeah.
Great question.
Probably part of it too. I mean, boba shops totally, but also not late night, right? Like, teens love a boba. Even if they don't like the boba, you still go to like be with your friends. But, you know, Kim, that's also a great point about house parties. I grew up very rural and there wasn't anywhere to go until the Barnes & Nobles opened up that had a coffee shop in it, which was open until 11 p.m. So like by college, we'd go there. But especially even if we maybe weren't driving yet in high school, there was one kid's house. Josh and his older siblings had the house parties, had the bonfires. You slept over in the basement.
Yes.
You got Bob Evans in the morning. It was a whole
R.I.P.
weekend ritual.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got third spaces for teens in a boba shop or house parties. We also have those kind of similar places in like Times Square, it sounds like. Are there other third spaces for us? And I mean, like, of course, like not work, not home. And, you know, we mentioned a little bit of bars kind of stepping in to do some of this like performance, art, activism, studying. Rap Catchel Reese of the Newsletter Editor was working in a wine bar yesterday, which seemed very classy. What kind of third spaces do we have in Vegas?
Let's talk about the adults. You know, the kids will figure it out for themselves.
They're not listening to CityCast Las Vegas.
What does us old fogies do to find a place that's not home or work?
Oh, yes. This is...
And by old fogies, I mean everyone 30 and over.
Yes.
And by the way, the fact that we are sort of struggling with this conversation is an example, by the way, of gentrification. Because if what we make in our communities is everything that needs to be consumed and paid for, if we're not thinking about what are the third spaces where the community can come together, then basically what we have is a gentrification situation. And that's clearly happening, right?
Well, Sarah, I want to clarify, are we talking about late night third spaces? Or because, you know, there's still parks and gatherings and things that happen outdoors that you don't have to pay for. That isn't pure consumerism. I know I just got an invite that's coming up to a gathering where friends are just going to have sort of a impromptu potluck in one of the local parks.
Oh,
and I think
so
that's
lovely.
Great. Yeah. And so that's happening all the time. And then whenever we go to a park, we always see gatherings of groups of people we don't know. And so that's a third space for sure. It's just not a late night one.
Definitely. And I think you downtowners have more of an advantage because there are quite a few of you and more growing. So you've got like your little community where you can just wander around and say hi to people. I read once that people lament the loss of their college days, not necessarily because it's their youth, but because you were in the supportive environment where you could walk out the door and see your friends.
The quad.
And this is like maybe the curse of cities, right? That we, especially driving cities, that we move out of distance from our communities. But let's talk about those late night spaces. Let's talk about if I got another book to write, where am I going to go? Or like, where am I going to see a poetry slam in the city? Are these only happening in bars now?
Well, we have a really intense and wonderful humanities program here that's constantly doing classes and seminars and get-togethers, get community centers and things like that. They're doing the Nevada Humanities is actually a pretty strong organization, and they're constantly trying to do stuff that are book-oriented, writing-oriented, that kind of stuff. So that actually happens in community centers, and those spaces are generally free.
I mean, David, you also just taught a workshop in a classroom next to Public Us downtown, which I thought was really interesting. It did feel a little bit of a throwback of coffee shops being used as these community gathering spaces, too, and learning spaces.
Yeah, and super shout out to Public Us. Wouldn't take a chance on us to do this great little writing workshop in their side room. But it was still daytime hours, you know, and I think that, you know, specifically with regard to like poetry and writers and things of that nature, they'll always find a way. They'll always find a space. If they're bent on writing, they're going to find their writing space or their, you know, mingling spaces. And sometimes it's just, you know, places like Public Us or Taverna Costera and other places are willing to take chances and lend out their rooftop or their back room or their side space to allow, you know, that sort of culture to thrive maybe a little later in the evening.
Yeah, I just saw Vogue Robinson perform at a poetry slam at Taverna Costera, and that's a space I'd not been there before. So because she performed there, it's now on my map, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, as far as performance spaces go, it does, some of them do give you a chance to sort of mingle. And I think maybe that's what we're talking about with the third space, is not just to be productive or get shit done, but to just be able to, I don't know, decompress with like-minded folks or find them or just kind of engage in ways that isn't just walking into a noisy bar. And I think that there's a lot of those spaces that are around. You just have to find them.
It's and seem like a DIY performance.
The other thing I was thinking about is, could expand the idea of a third space to be in these areas like Main Street or Water Street in Henderson or downtown Summerlin, where you might see your neighbors when you're out. And maybe that creates some kind of, like, you know, you're walking down Main Street and you see somebody and maybe you decide you want to like socialize with them and you end up going to a bar or whatever or doing something together or going off. I mean, maybe we can like sort of expand the idea of a third space by bringing us all together.
I mean, are any of these spaces as gritty and spontaneous as like a caffeine high at 1 a.m. in the back of like a funky coffee shop? Are these art centers? No. Yeah. So what do we lose? What do you think we lose when we lose spaces that function as a place to gather and perform and escape? Let's talk about specifically these late night spaces that are also, again, like alcohol-free spaces.
I mean, alcohol is part of our culture as well. Like there's this new little Japanese whiskey bar. I'm not going in there to get ripped, but it's really cute. And you wind up talking with other people at the bar and stuff. So, you know, as far as these other spaces go, they are there. And I think that as long as places like the Arts District stay funky, to your point, Sarah.
Yeah.
But when, you know, they get a little more corporatized or a little more generic or even
gentrified.
Well, you know, boring. Cookie cutter, but there are other spaces like I took you to Liquid Diet.
And, I love Liquid Diet.
You know, it's so DIY, so funky. They have a great product there. No, we weren't there to get drunk. We wound up sitting on the back patio.
We were there to play Jenga.
And we played oversized Jenga with our friends, and I met new people, and we were just bullshitting for hours.
And we were coming from the writer's block from my author event. So, like, we went to a cultural event in that space and then went around the corner, went to Liquid Diet and played some Jenga and had a drink.
And we walked down alleyway and somebody said, I think I'm about to be killed. And we said, no, it's okay now.
It was me.
Oh, it was you, Sarah. Yeah, I didn't want to out you. I know it was you.
I thought I was going to die in that frozen alley where I couldn't find the door to Liquid Diet.
But I think that's kind of what we're talking about now, you know, for us more adulty people.
Yes.
Is that, you know, sometimes alcohol kind of comes with it. And you have to patronize these places, too, because they're not there to provide you with these really cool third spaces out of the kindness of their hearts. That's like a great after effect and a draw, but they still have to make their money. So buy your drinks, tip your cocktail waitresses. Tip your bartenders.
Yes.
I mean, you said too, David, that part of the reason, you know, to be open late as a coffee shop, you have to be willing to invest in programming, in the singer-songwriter, in the poetry slam, in the art show, whatever it is, and that people, they don't want to do that. They want to go home, which I think is understandable. And they do all their business earlier in the day, too. All their business is done before 2 p.m. So there does seem to be this much bigger cultural shift as well, though. Like, my friends were working in late-night coffee shops when I was a youth, and I do still miss those spaces. Kim, what do you think?
We require this sort of social connection in order to have things like social capital, which we've talked on this show about before.
Right.
And in order to have like an enjoyable life and to be able to, function in our society. And I think part of the problem, I think David mentioned at the top, was this idea about the pandemic and how we've been affected by the pandemic. And I think socializing is much harder for people now.
Yeah.
And so I think that you're going to see third places change as we start to come out of this changes that happened to us during the pandemic where we were much more isolated. And I think our third spaces are going to conform to that and adapt and help us adapt as well.
And, you know, maybe some of these third spaces we're just not seeing, because I also should shout out AOL Instant Messenger as one of my really important teenage third spaces, too. So we're occupying the internet more.
You
right?
went digital.
Yeah, we're digital. And we all of us got more digital during the pandemic in the ways that we're connecting. We're recording this remotely right now on Riverside, which allows us to be social.
I can't believe we actually left this point to the very end, because I think this is probably the biggest indicator of why our third places have changed, right? Because we're at home, we're watching Netflix. We're not even going to the movie theaters as much as we used to, because we're like streaming Netflix. We're like on our phones. We're like, you know, dealing with the injustice and the rage of the day. And that's pretty entertaining. And sometimes it's that feels more alluring. And more sedentary and more intoxicating, maybe, than even going out into a third space and being with real people.
Is that another CityCast $1 million idea? Is a virtual third space Vegas coffee shop?
Oh, it'd be full of olds just like us, for sure. You know, but we'd love it.
I have to tell you, I think it's a great idea. We did a Zoom cookbook group throughout Zoom, and people loved it. We'd bring cocktails and like hang out and talk about stuff. And it was really good. I think you guys should do this CityCast third space idea online. I think that's amazing.
Post-pandemic, I'm all about celebrating the face-to-face. So on that, can we all go out for our coffee sometime soon? I would really like that.
Yes!
The later, the better.
I'll even come downtown.
I'll do decaf.
All right. Thank you so much, Kim and David. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, fun to be here with you guys. You're the best.
Absolutely, guys.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed this show, why not tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and maybe tell us your favorite late-night coffee shop in the city or other third space. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care.